That's simply not true.
I'm trying to tell you, Mark.
Just absolutely fake.
Let me finish. It's clear that this isn't just some rogue admiral taking matters into their own hands. And you can trace a direct line from this, a direct line back to Nico Torres and the war that he started. What we need to be asking is very simple here. Who in the fleet knew about this? When did they know it? And why did they side with a former president instead of following their oaths of office and interplanetary law?
Look, Mark, you have to admit, this can't be a good day for former President Torres, right? The pressure is off President Lee, Counselor Torres is being called back to Earth, and according to the latest RBC Cooper poll, public support for deploying the fleet to the Verge has fallen by 6 points since the announcement. With just months to go before the election, isn't this an extinction-level event for the Nico Torres campaign?
Sure, this was a bad day for President Torres, no doubt about that. But the press conference proved one thing and one thing only, and that's that the armistice has not worked and was never going to work. You have one poll, showing support for using the fleet in the Verge down a couple points, fine. But even if that poll were accurate, and I've seen numbers going the other way, but even if that poll were accurate, that is going to change as soon as the media starts to focus on what Aventine has been up to, and the threat that they pose to every single person on Earth and in the Verge. Before I finish, I just want to say, I think it's no coincidence that these four people were handpicked by Evelyn Lee, and then, just months after arriving in the Verge, they hold a press conference with completely unfounded accusations against her opponent at the height of this election. But the one thing the Minerva Project proved at that podium is that President Torres was right all along, and that appeasing Aventine is not going to work.
All right. I'm sure we'll have a lot more to come on this, but first we're going to have to sneak in a quick break. We'll be back right here with more from the panel in just 60 seconds. Don't go away.
Welcome to Worlds Away, an actual play storytelling podcast. I am your game master, John Ossip, and here with me, we've got Haley Daria.
Hello.
Lauren Wilbanks.
Squeegee board.
That got me. All right. Michael Morales.
Hi.
And Moshe Dara. All right. Fuck you. All right.
What actually happened there is Mo zoned out for a second and then heard his name and realized, oh, I forgot to come up with a good line, and just stood there trying to come up with a good line, and it just didn't come.
I feel like he was just repeating the troll from last time, but that's fine.
I need you to know, I have a list of intros.
This dude is more prepped than me as the GM. He just pulled out his list of fucking intro questions.
I mean, I just have the natural talent of thinking up squeegee board 5 seconds before I said it.
I thought you said Guiji board, and then you hit us with squeegee board in the same episode.
I said squeegee board.
Oh, I was thinking you were making a Luigi Mansion situation here, but
no, I was thinking of a squeegee and then a Ouija board.
Oh, okay.
That's also good.
Yeah. All right.
It's got layers.
When I think of intros in the middle of our like 2 week time period between recordings, I have to write them down because otherwise I'm never going to remember them.
That's a good point.
I forgot a lot of good ones.
All right. So I think we are going to pick up a little after the end of the last episode, and that's following the press conference that you held in the park on Ascension. And as a reminder for how that ended, you had just revealed that both the Republic and Aventine were breaking the armistice and preparing for war. And then at the last second, we saw Ramon Herrera, the Aventine vice consul, show up to corroborate your story. After that press conference, I think Sasha Green helped pull the four of you, along with Ramon, out of the crowd of onlookers and reporters. And so where I want to pick up is inside Sasha's apartment, where you all kind of retreated to avoid the crowd and to sort of wait and see how everyone's reacting to the news. In terms of the apartment itself, I think we still see a half-open pizza box on the coffee table, but maybe it looks like that one was hurriedly left here after the four of you messaged Sasha Green and returned to the station. Sasha, we see just sort of pacing in a short line by the door, but I think Ramon slash Mateo is sitting on a chair in the kind of living room area, his Aventine uniform jacket slightly unbuttoned, and he's just looking like totally shell-shocked. What do the four of you look like as we start the scene, or what do we see you doing in this apartment?
Arno is seated comfortably across from Ramon, one leg crossed over the other, head leaning on his fist, and just staring at Ramon. I'm more just curious than anything else.
Okay. But not like looking for anything in particular, just kind of studying him.
I don't think I'm probing for like any specific emotion or anything. I'm not looking at his uniform to see if there's like any bugs or transmitters on him. I think if Ramon had grown a second head, I could not be any more curious about like his presence here than I already am.
Okay. Yeah. What about the rest of you?
I think Mara is like maybe helping Sasha Green like prepare tea or like a beverage or something for everyone.
Okay. Yeah. I think maybe like Sasha Green like said, oh, can we do this? But then she just got like distracted and is looking at her slate, pacing around frantically. Yeah. And maybe you kind of just took over for her.
Yeah. Mara is seeping the oolong. She's got her timer out. She's tapping her fingers, watching the seconds tick by.
I think that Leela is, in keeping with how she was in the last session, she is pretty withdrawn. I don't think that she's going to jumpstart the conversation here, but I do think that despite all of the other stuff she has in her mind, the dynamic between Ramon and Nasir is like fascinating. And I mean, I don't know if this is the right time to like try to roll for something, but or like if we're just going to get information in a moment anyway. But I do feel like if possible, I would like to try to get a sense of how are Nasir and Ramon kind of reacting to each other, or what is their dynamic?
Okay. I want to see what Mo's doing, and then I might come back to that because I think there's, you know, some stuff beyond maybe what we just already know kind of out of character that you could get from that.
Cool.
Mo, what about Nasir?
I'm not engaging with Ramon at all, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm leaned over a table, like sort of standing hunched over a table with my slate on the surface, scrolling through news reports, right? Like, my eyes are on, we just made a major move.
Yeah.
And this is the only war room we have. So like my eyes are on the news.
Okay.
I'm very much in business mode.
I think Arno will break the ice then. And while still just looking at Ramon, what are you doing here?
Oof.
At that, I will immediately like swivel around and stare at Arno.
I think when you ask that, Arno, I think that Ramon is just still kind of staring straight ahead, but starts talking almost to himself. I mean, he just says sort of, again, toward you, but almost under his breath, I can't go back to Aventine, back to the consulate. But then he looks up and we see some anger settle onto his face. And he looks at you, Nasir, and he says, I warned you not to do this. You didn't listen to me for the second time, the third time now. By exposing all of this, exposing Kyros's war effort, You've backed him into a corner. It might not be today. It might not be tomorrow. But sometime soon, he's going to lash out.
Nasir has become reckless, impulsive, and forgotten how to show restraint. But what are you doing here? And I say that you forcefully.
Yeah.
And although I've been looking at him the whole time, I think my stare hardens.
I think Mar is actually going to walk over with kind of a tray of hot beverages, some tea. And she's going to offer the first one to Ramon. My bad. Yeah. To Ramon.
I think it kind of still takes him a minute to note it, like maybe not a minute, but like a couple seconds longer than you'd think correct when you hold it in front of him. But then he does take in kind of maybe his hands are shaking a little bit.
Yeah.
But he responds to you, Arno, and he says, when Nasir, when you four decided to do this press conference, I didn't have much of a choice. No one was going to believe you if there wasn't somebody from Aventine backing your story. I tried to stop it before that happened. We saw how that went.
Director Green, I had mentioned to you previously that we had another back channel in the Aventine Consulate after the arrest of Director Shaw. And I will just sort of gesture, like I won't finish the thought because it's really obvious. Mm-hmm. If ever there was a doubt that our contact was interested in peace, and I will, at this point, shoot a look at Arno. I think it was dealt with when he burned every bridge we had.
I think with that, Sasha Green kind of looks at Mateo and then looks back to Eunice here. So I assume, given these events, that we no longer have a back channel?
Maybe our back channel has a back channel.
There's also the original back channel.
I think with that, she just kind of shakes her head a little bit and then sits down because it's just sounding kind of more and more ridiculous.
Mar's going to offer her a cup of tea.
Yeah, she takes the tea like more deliberately than Mateo did. But then she says, I've never been much of a gambler myself, but what do you think the odds are between us all winning some sort of peace prize or ending up in a cell?
30-70? And I'm still scrolling the feed.
30 for the peace prize?
Correct.
I don't need another one. And I think she'll like walk over and another like a cup of tea to Leela.
Yes! Talk your shit, Mara.
But
let's
there is
go.
A rich history of chemists also getting a peace prize on top of their original prize in chemistry. Fascinating history there, actually. But maybe a story for another
going for
time.
The dub.
And she'll walk over to Arno and, yeah, hand him a cup.
So I do still want to try to scope it out because while okay. I think we got some information, I think Leela knows enough to know that that was not a full story. And okay. I also feel like I think we're joking around and I don't know that we feel comfortable like digging in and talking strategy while like this essentially stranger is here.
Yeah. Okay. Well, go ahead and roll scope it out then.
All right. May I invoke my background that gives me advantage when I try to pierce lies, confusion, or a mystery and see the wisdom beyond.
I think this might be a close one, but I think I'll allow that. So I'm feeling generous today.
Merciful.
So go ahead and roll the advantage.
I have a -1 modifier, so you know.
Fair enough.
That is
all right. So that's a 7, right?
Yeah, 7.
Okay. All right. So just barely made it. So I'm glad I gave you that advantage.
Thank you.
All right. So on Scope It Out, with a 7-9, you can ask one question from the Scope It Out list. So take a look at that and let me know what is your question.
As much as I want to know what my best escape route is, I think I want to know. Okay, just for a second, like the three that I'm debating between, who or what here is not what they seem? Fairly obvious. who's really in control here, I feel like is just an interesting way to phrase it, but I don't know that that's really matches the situation super well. Who or what here could be a useful opportunity is kind of an obvious one, but I don't know what that, I don't know that that quite is what I think Leela's going for. I kind of just want to go for the obvious and say who or what here is not what they seem.
And I guess, is there anything particular that you're trying to get out of that, I guess? Like, what's Leela most focused on? I'll put it that way.
I mean, I think it's the dynamic between these two. Like, Nasir is very businesslike right now, but clearly when Ramon mentioned that Nasir was acting very impulsively and was doing all this, there was clearly that hint of anger. And so I think Leela's trying to understand these are clearly not just business associates.
They were business associates.
So I think I'm going to say what happens next, and then I'm going to give you the answer to that gyroscope and our question, Haley.
Okay.
So I think we see Mateo kind of knock back the tea, and I think then we kind of see him harden a little bit and his like wits come back about him. And he says, the apartment where you met me, and he kind of looks at Nasir and Mara. No one from the consulate should know about it. I'm going to go back there for now. If there's an emergency, you can call me, but otherwise I need some time. And I think he stands up from the couch and looks at you, Nasir. And what you get from this is the anger has mostly changed from his face and is now frustration or maybe even desperation. And then he starts walking toward the door. But Leela, I think you get kind of two things from this. One is, I think that you can tell that what he said when he was saying to Nasir originally, you didn't listen to me. And he said for the second time, and then he kind of corrected himself and said for the third time.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell that whatever that third time was something of extraordinarily deep import to him. And not Yeah, go ahead.
I think also when I think you see me flinch when he corrects himself.
Yeah.
Like physically flinch.
Yeah. So I think you get that and you see that interaction between the two of them.
Okay.
But the other thing I think you get is as he is walking out, I think maybe you see his eyes kind of darting around the apartment. But I think you get the sense that perhaps some of these events, including the aftermath of this, you know, maybe he couldn't have predicted in advance like what Nasir was going to do, and maybe he didn't want the press conference to happen. But I think you get the sense that he kind of knew how this was going to play out, right? He understands that he's playing a role here too in this space. I'll sort of leave it at that.
Okay.
Can I throw Leela a bone?
Please.
I think as Ramon is leaving, and after he said where he's going, Arno chimes in, your face is everywhere in one of the most surveilled places in the Verge. I hope you can keep it hidden.
Ominous.
You fucker.
So I think what happens when you say that is he looks back at you and kind of like maybe winces a little bit. But Leela, I think that what you get from it is that he doesn't look as nervous about that as maybe you think he should, given what Arno just kind of implied.
Okay.
And then he walks out the door. So after Mateo leaves, what are all of you doing in the apartment? Or are you just kind of waiting for Sasha Green to say something?
I mean, I think I'm trying to see what's happening on the news. Like, we just did something big.
Yeah.
None of the answers are in this apartment.
Okay. So maybe you're flipping through, what do we think kind of doom scrolling looks like in 2275? What are you kind of looking at on your slate?
I mean, I think that like I am pulling up like multiple feeds and like scrolling through multiple things at once. Essentially like control effing through these feeds.
Yeah.
Like the equivalent of a Google alert, but it happens in real time as you like search through stuff. Looking through and seeing like anything about the Minerva project, anything about the fleet, anything about the Aventine military bases. I want to see what the coverage looks like.
I wonder if in this time period, not only can you see, you know, you kind of are looking for articles or posts or news about these specific topics that you mentioned, but there's also like a sentiment analysis. So even as you're like scrolling through, there's kind of like a graph or some sort of symbol of what the overall sentiment is about yeah. these specific terms. So it's like, oh, Minerva Project, like, you know, that one's kind of very, you know, so I think like maybe you're having like all this data in front of you in addition to just like reading individual posts. Yeah. Or whatever.
Okay. I like that. And I think maybe that analysis is based on like the stories that are being published or how people are perceiving what they're reading.
Yeah.
It's not like this, the, you know, I might give you more on this in a second. Mike, are you about to jump in?
Or? I just want to add
sentiment analysis.
Yeah, I want to add some flavor to that. It's not just that it's real time. So unlike in the present where when you do a Google search right now, you have a static page that you need to refresh to see new stuff. In the future at this point, all of the articles are popping up as they're being published and written. And the sentiment analysis is New York Times needling it and like moving as we're searching.
I think to Mike's point about the New York Times needle, I think that actually like I have pulled up two windows and I had put in a query for two pieces of sentiment analysis from the feed. One is what is perception of the Minerva Project specifically in The Verge, if I can like sub look at it, but everywhere if I can't. And then like what is sentiment analysis across the galaxy for like go to war or like reaffirm the armistice?
Yeah. I'm glad that you added that about the needle, because I think on both of these questions, I think you're seeing these sort of bouncing all over the place. And I think actually I'm going to give you a little bit more on this and maybe a third question in a second. But I mean, if the two things that you're looking at in terms of the needles are what support for the Minerva Project, and maybe it's like more Earth and Aventine, but like, do we think that we should go to war or should we try to get a peace? I think that those are just all over the map. I think you're seeing the needle swinging and sentiments changing very rapidly. But I think as you're kind of scrolling through the stories, eventually you see a kind of like, maybe it's on the RBC One, the kind of main news broadcast, and you see a story that is about the council reacting to what just happened, the Republic Council. And maybe you take that into Seer and you flick it up onto the screen on the wall. And it's sort of like, oh, you just kind of flick it from your slate and now it's broadcasting so everybody can see this one. In that broadcast, it's revealed that after your press conference, the Republic Council held an emergency meeting and by a razor-thin margin voted to launch an investigation into the allegations that you made at the podium and directed Nico Torres to return to Earth for consultations. The vote of no confidence that was scheduled for President Lee has now been postponed. And actually, Sasha Green has been named acting director of the Minerva Project.
Ooh, that's our girl!
Congratulations, director.
Meanwhile, Aventine has given a sort of mixed response to the news. They've both denied that any offensive weapons were being placed into the Verge, but they're also saying that Earth is to blame for any violations of the armistice. But I think that the broadcast ends with the results of a kind of like snap poll that's showing public opinion on Earth and also at various planets throughout the Verge. And maybe this is a little bit more detailed than the kind of like article-based sentiment analysis that you were getting. Looking at the results, well, it seems that support for the fleet has fallen on Earth. So maybe a slightly different question than do we want to go to war, but support for the fleet has fallen. And also has fallen for the governments of the Republic and of Aventine everywhere else throughout the Verge. Across the board, you see that support for the armistice is lower than it's ever been before. And over 70% of respondents agreed with the statement that another war is now inevitable.
Oof.
How do you all react to this, if at all?
I think Arno's looking at the numbers on the screen, and I think he offers out loud, this is good. These are good numbers.
I think Leela's going to have a confused look on her face and just be like, 70% of people thinking war is inevitable is a good thing.
before we did the press conference, did you believe war was inevitable? Nasir just jumps in.
Yes.
Correct. None of the material facts about the situation changed. The only thing that changed was that now the rest of the galaxy is aware of what we were always aware of. War is no more or less inevitable than it was a few hours ago. We knew the moment we revealed what was going to happen that there was going to be a jump in public sentiment that the armistice needed to be thrown out. The only thing that we have done is brought public sentiment into the discussion, and public sentiment is on our side.
No, we did something else. Both sides were ready to come up with whatever excuse they wanted to be the first one to strike. Self-defense, a violation of the armistice, whatever it was. Everyone sees now that that was always going to be the case. The people pulling the strings no longer have the benefit of being able to frame the issue however they want. There's not going to be an excuse. Everyone's going to be watching and waiting and ready to point fingers.
And I am nodding my head. Arno and Nasir are fully in agreement here.
I think if you say that, I think Sasha Green actually looks to you and says, you're right that everyone knows both sides were breaking the armistice. In terms of there not being any excuse, that I'm less sure about. Maybe neither side can point to what you exposed at the press conference, but when tensions are high, misunderstandings have a way of escalating.
At least Evelyn Lee is still in power for now.
And Nico Torres is no longer in charge of the Minerva project.
I think when you say that, Sasha Green stands up and starts kind of pacing a little bit again.
I think Leela's gonna try to break the tension a little bit and say, I suppose we never opened any champagne. You did get a promotion, Sasha.
I don't think she reacts to that immediately, and maybe we see her kind of like take a few more steps. But then I think she turns to face you and has a sort of more determined, serious look on her face. And she says, the way I see it, the mission of this project, our mission, hasn't changed. We were told to find out what's happening to the Lustra and the Verge and to stop it. So what I want to know is, where are we at on this and what are we going to do next?
We successfully retrieved another beacon from the Amity. Right now, I am running some analyses on exactly how the ghost ship was able to disarm the device, so to speak. It seems that whatever weapon the ghost ship is firing shuts down the beacon's ability to interfere with Lustra.
Additionally, you were gone, but the first beacon has been sent to Earth.
What did you do with this new device? Is it here on Ascension?
It's still on the Valiant. I was able to take it apart and attempted to hide it in boxes of similar-looking mechanical detritus, I suppose.
Any chance that this ghost ship will come looking for it? Or that Aventine will?
I don't think in its deactivated state the ghost ship has any interest in the device.
Out of character for a second. Do we want to read her in? Like, read her in?
What does she know?
So. To what? What does that mean?
I mean, she doesn't know that the devices were originally made by the Republic. She doesn't know that we found a survivor on that asteroid and that we're keeping them alive somewhere. There's a lot of information that might be, like, useful for the director, the new director, to know and to be able to act on. And, like, I just don't think she's going to be as effective being a resource to us if she's surprised by things that we've done already.
I'll note the one, like, what was told to her, I mean, and I don't know if everybody knows this or not, but, like, Nasir did meet with her in episode 26 and told her that you all were going to Lua to look for another one of these devices, and that, like, you know, I think he even said Arno suspects that there's one there, but that, you know, that wasn't, I don't know if anyone ever communicated to her the information that you got from Mendoza or about sort of your current suspicions.
Yeah.
I will go ahead and bloop over to her from my slate all of the pieces of the report I wrote before we came here. Like, I was reviewing all of my mission reports before we came, before we landed, and I rewrote them to remove all of the things about the device before I sent the intel packets to our allies. I think I send her a different intel packet.
Like the unredacted?
Just a summary, the unredacted.
Yeah.
That includes all of the information about the devices. The only thing that would not be featured in my report is any mention of the aliens. The only thing even resembling a line about that would be like Leela, after attempting to index, like failed to successfully index with the patient from the Amity and instead had like a hallucinatory experience.
Okay. And I think we kind of see her like flipping through it and looking at this. Is anyone like say anything while she's doing this or kind of giving her a summary?
Yeah. I think Arno glances over at her and just says, please understand, we weren't trying to keep this from the Minerva Project. We were trying to keep this from Counselor Torres. That's why we haven't given you this update yet.
I think we just see her kind of, you know, you're saying this, but I think her focus is entirely on the slate. And I think we see her kind of scrolling through, and maybe this takes over a minute for her to get to the bottom of the report. You know, I think she's kind of flipping through and only reading the parts that were previously omitted or, you know, or redacted from the report. But I think after she gets to the bottom, and again, maybe she's just kind of staring at it for a few seconds and then looks up and says, so these things were originally designed on Earth, but now Aventine's the one who's making them. Do we have a plan to track these down, stop them from using them?
We can more or less track them. Stopping them, well, we're sort of building the ship as we fly it.
We know that they've been designed at the Nemirov Design Bureau, and we have residue. And he like sort of looks at Mara to see if that's like the right term.
I think she's kind of deep in thought, and in the silence kind of looks up and realizes that people are looking at her and says, yes, like I said before, I'm running some analyses right now. We might be able to find some sort of chemical trace that we could link back to the homeworld, and even more, perhaps more specific location. And she kind of trails off. I'm also interested in finding a way to destroy these things once and for all. Perhaps what I'm hoping is that at the end of my research, I can utilize all the information I've gained to crafting some sort of weapon that will permanently disable the ability to manufacture these devices. I think she might even put her hands up. Everything is preliminary right now. I'll have more information when I'm finished. But unless we strike at the heart of Aventine's ability to manufacture these devices, we'll just be playing whack-a-mole throughout the galaxy.
I think Leela will chime in and say, as much as I tend to disagree with Nico Torres, Arno, you mentioned that he feared that Aventine may have planted these close to Earth. That's something we should investigate.
So, if I have all this straight, we need to figure out where these devices are being made, track them all down, build some type of weapon to destroy them, to use that weapon before Aventine deploys one of these devices on Earth, and somehow do all of this without starting another interplanetary war. Do I have all that right?
I think Leela nonchalantly shrugs and nods.
All right. Let's make it happen. Where do all of you head after leaving Sasha's apartment?
So I think before anyone heads off anywhere, I want to order us like a private car or tram to like get us to like make sure that we are...
I'm going to say this. I don't know if there's like cars or trams on Ascension, but maybe what we see is you do the thing that that Sasha Green did in like episode 4, where it's like, oh, you just kind of make sure that nobody else is in the car, the people mover, except for the four of you.
And I think with just the four of us in the people mover, I'm going to shoot Arno a look, and then I'm going to like look at the other two.
And actually, just if I can jump in, just say in terms of characterizing the setting, I think it's like, oh, we see the doors shut on the people mover. And, you know, I don't know if you're all sitting down or what that looks like. But to describe this, it's kind of it moves on like the inside of the ring of Ascension. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's like what you're seeing if you look up is glass and you see the other side of the station overhead. And then also sort of the vastness of space and the star field behind the station. You're kind of looking outside and into the middle of the ring.
The reason that Ramon Herrera stood up for us is because we knew each other on Aventine. The reason that we knew each other on Aventine is because his real name is Mateo Santa Anna. He's my husband.
Yeah, I'm curious how everyone else reacts, because I know this is less news for Mara and Arno.
Each piece of this is like Arno knew it all. Mara knew everything. He said the last line. Lila didn't know shit.
I think, well, the thing with Mara is, right, that she was kind of nodding. She believed that everyone else was getting a dose of the reality that they like knew each other. So until the point where Nasir said, this is his real name, he was my husband, I think she like stops nodding. And her head's just kind of at an angle. And she stands up. And she says, puta madre, how dare you?
There is unfortunately one additional piece of information. And I will pull out the slate and show I received this message in the midst of our press conference. And now I'm silent.
So is it evident from the way Arno is behaving that he knew, or?
No, I don't think Arno gives away anything. I think you could ask him and he might tell you, but it's the same neutral expression that you've seen.
Okay. Also, for what it's worth, everyone did receive new information here.
And just to remind everyone what's on that message, the sort of body, the text is just a single line that says, every act of rebellion expresses a nostalgia for innocence. And then it's followed by the video of Nasir saying, Mateo, was it really an Aventine spy ring inside Ramon / Mateo's apartment? And then him sort of stepping forward to touch his face.
I think Leela's going to jump in on that last line or that last bit of information. And she's going to read aloud that quote again. Every act of rebellion expresses a nostalgia for innocence. Where have I heard that before?
It's a quote by the philosopher Albert Camus.
I've never seen a blackmail message that quoted a 20th century philosopher before.
Damn, you must not be playing a lot of D&D with John.
Lila's never seen that. Haley is well aware of how that goes. No. I think then Lila's going to kind of switch gears and say, your husband, Ramon, is your husband who isn't dead.
That would be correct.
Well, that puts us in quite a pickle. Who knows about Mateo?
The four people in this car, Mateo and Ma Elkin, back on Earth.
Is your son alive?
I think at that, I will physically wince.
Yeah.
Like that, I deserved that, and it hurt really bad.
I think that's like 100% genuine.
Yeah.
I don't think she's, like, if you look at Mara, she's not. Like, she's almost even a very graven, but like even maybe a little bit of hope.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think Arna Jimson. When did you receive this message?
A few hours ago, during the press conference itself.
Makes sense. You recognized him on site. I'm sure somebody else would have connected the dots at some point.
The video was taken from inside the secret apartment that he said no one at the Aventine Consulate knew existed. I am implying something very heavily to Arno there.
And you let him go back alone?
I didn't have a chance to tell you all, and I needed to before this went any further.
Nasir, he could be in danger. Do you have a way of contacting him?
I do. I'm going to send Ramon a message that just, like, I need indication that you're alive.
Hmm. And I guess let me ask, like, what do you say exactly? Because I think the specifics matter in terms of how he responds, if at all.
Ominous, if at all.
I mean, I think I would say something along the lines of, like, thank you for your honesty today. That was dangerous. I'm sorry for putting you in more danger. Can you confirm that you're safe? That you're currently safe?
I think that you send that, and I think it takes like 30 seconds to see this next piece. But then I think you see the kind of like typing response ellipses come up and like go away and come up a couple times. How is like Nasir reacting, or like what do you think when you see that?
I mean, I think my ex-husband is pretty upset at me. So okay. If I see that, signs point to the fact that he's still alive.
Yeah. I think maybe then eventually you just get something that says, I said I need time. I think I've earned that.
There's also the possibility this came from him.
Who?
I say it after I confirm he's alive.
I think Leela raises her eyebrows at that. That's spicy.
I directly went against his wishes more than once. I think that, like, Nasir is very quick and curt, and like he is like despondent.
So at this point, I think you hear the people mover begin to slow, and it's pulling into the station nearest to the Republic complex and the Minerva Project headquarters. But as it comes to a stop and the doors open, does anyone sort of say anything else in this conversation?
Nasir, whether he wants time or not, he deserves to know that somebody was spying on him in his own home. You know that he's in danger. He might not. And I'll get up and I'll leave the car. And I'll wait for a response.
I think just like right when you do that, the doors open. And then maybe a bunch of people kind of walk in. So, you know, you no longer have the privacy that you had. So after that scene on the train or the people mover, where do we see each of you headed on Ascension Station?
Yeah, Arno needs to report to the Admiral.
We'll do that. Sorry, bud. What about everyone else?
I think Leela's going to head back to the Valiant to do some thinking.
Okay.
I think that Mara is headed to the library to gather some information.
Okay. And what about Nasir?
I think that I straight up follow Mara after she gets off.
Okay. Well, as much as I'm looking forward to the Mendoza-Arno one-on-one, maybe I'll do Mara and Nasir first and sort of get both of your scenes in. So do you want to describe what it looks like as Mara's kind of headed to the library and Nasir's following her?
In a word, tense.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Mara is just kind of marching straight forward, not really looking at Nasir. Her, like, mouth is in a line, her brow is furrowed. And she absolutely needed to go to the library to do some recon.
Mm-hmm.
But it is turning into a necessary distraction to kind of get her mind off of this individual lying to her.
I think I am following at like a steady, even pace behind Mara, I'm not like calling to her or urging her at all. And I think I still have that sort of like slack, despondent look to me. If she's not engaging, I'm not trying to call her attention, but I'm like matching pace.
Yeah. So after arriving at the library, does Mara go to sort of any particular area or looking for anything that we see as the audience?
I think the first section she's looking for is geology or minerals or anything along those lines of Aventine. And so maybe she's like browsing the books and she finds one where the cover is just a metal. It's a large metal cover.
Oh, is it still like really light, even though it is metal?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Okay. You know, it's a good like 2 to 3 inches in paper, but it feels no more heavy than any book of that kind of size. That would be just wood, pulp, plastic or something like that. And I think that she's kind of like, you know, opens it, is like flipping through it a little bit, appraising it, and deems that it has the information she needs. And I think she just kind of looks over and sees Nasir and maybe just like a small eye roll and turns to walk away, but like hands him the book. And she says, if you're going to follow me, at least be useful.
Ha.
I'll carry the book. I won't say a word.
So as she's kind of like walking away, Nasir is, I assume, like fairly close behind her, and she's whispering because it's a library, but it also it's intergalactic secrets. So she says, if this individual has a recording of you and Mateo, then we should also assume they have a recording of you and I engaged in some light to heavy treason.
That is a perfectly valid point.
So she's going to continue walking, probably just as angrily as before. And she's going to get to a section on, I don't know if they would have, it's not like they'd have, here's the section on how to build a bomb. They don't have like the intergalactic anarchist cookbook, but I think it's like the weaponization of electromagnetic pulsation and along those lines.
Hmm.
And she's looking through the kind of different titles that they have in regards to that kind of technology. And I think she just turns and she hands him another book and she says, you hurt my feelings. Apologize.
I am truly sorry. Both that I kept something from you and that I hurt your feelings in doing so.
It's exceptionally hurtful. I think she like wags her finger at you because you chided me for keeping the spying on Shaw a secret, and yet you were cavorting with, I don't even know what to call him. He's not your ex-husband, as you were not legally divorced, and he is not deceased. I'm confused. And she spins around and she continues walking.
Same, Mara, honestly.
I think I will, at this point, when she starts to walk away, I will start to like pick up my pace to catch her a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize for not coming clean when we were sharing secrets. I wasn't prepared to share this one yet. I miscalculated the impact this would have on our work and the project. And for that miscalculation, I am sorry.
I think she just lets out like a huge, heavy sigh.
I didn't know he would be here when I agreed to do the project. I didn't know who he had become. I didn't know if I would see him again.
But did you hope?
I hoped I would get closure. This is not that.
For the record, this is why I do not date. And then I think she'll do, like, she'll, like, close her eyes, look up, and do a sigh, like, sigh again.
Can I grab a book off the shelf?
Yeah, of course.
So I'm gonna grab no. a book off the shelf. Listen, I'm gonna grab a book off the shelf that I think is. Oh, what do I think? I actually would love to ask the group this. It's a book on, like, cultural family customs on Aventine family customs. Mm-hmm. And I can't decide what I think a family book would look like.
Like physically?
I think it's like a quilt.
Yeah. Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's like a quilted cover. And I think on one square of the quilted cover, you just see like two clasped hands with dyed fingers. And I will like flip to the page. And I'm still like at this point, like sort of like eyes drifting, and I have like sort of left the realm of apologizing into the realm of like talking about this with a friend, which isn't really fair tomorrow, but it's where Nasir's at. Typically on the day you get married in Aventine, you symbolize commitment to one another by dyeing your hands. You choose a color and you dye them the same color together as a show of commitment and the unification of families.
Is it a plant-based dye or... Oh, I'm sorry.
It is a native plant-based dye.
Fascinating.
The particularly exciting thing is it's quite easy to change the color of the dye with... And then, like, I'll catch myself for a second and I'll send you some texts I've written on the subject.
You personally?
I kept a garden.
I think she smiles, like, really warmly.
They're less scientific and more one man's field notes. His fingers aren't dyed anymore.
No, they're not.
As far as I'm concerned, he's my ex-husband.
I think she kind of nods slowly. We need one more book. And I think she heads to the section on, like, the most scientific analyses of interactions with sapient extraterrestrials.
I guess I wonder what that is or what that looks like.
Yeah.
Because this is like theoretical, correct? Since we haven't actually, you know, seen that outside of perhaps. In
exactly. Yeah. That's Lila's why vision. I did the caveat of the most scientific, not UFO spot blog dot future.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's probably early journals, right? And I think they are leather bound with like a very odd or like alien leather because they're old school journals and these were encounters with non-sapient life in the beginning. And like no one has encountered sapient life, but I think we probably in the section find journals and journals of early settlers.
Yeah.
Of their interaction with alien life. In the beginning, we didn't know that we wouldn't encounter sapient life. And like that was learned through numerous encounters with non-sapient life, with like animal life. And I think that given humanity's tendencies, like we probably killed some of those things as we came across them. And like never throw away what you can use, right? First rule of the Verge. So I think that that's probably... What we find here is a lot of that. And then maybe there's like a night, like a fun text that's more theoretical.
I think amongst those, like the field journals, there's maybe one book. And this is a book. It's an Earth book, right? So it has the typical bound cardboard covers and papers. And I think it's just called The Theory of the Other.
Mm.
And it's written by Amir Brennan, who, well, this will become relevant. I guess Mara will pick up the book and she'll hand it to Nasir.
I guess let me ask this as you're doing that. So this book, it comes from Earth. So is the idea that this was kind of like a ceremonial print, like kind of, oh, like when you write a book, you know, it's like, oh, everybody consumes it on a slate, but this is some kind of limited edition, or was it like reprinted for The Verge? What do you think this kind of, how did this book end up in this library?
I think that it was brought here by someone, and I don't think it's exactly clear.
Okay, like why it's in print and not on
exactly.
a slate.
It is an Earth text by a Terran individual.
Yeah.
But it appears Earth-like, but is it because someone in The Verge made it as an homage to old Earth printing? Or is it truly printed on Earth? So Mara hands Nasir this book. And I think Nasir, like, maybe recognizes the name but can't place it.
Why do I know Amir Brennan?
He was the lead physicist on Genesynth's attempt to solve the propagation problem and is one of another third on our prize.
That's right. He gave the speech about how we would learn even faster ways to travel soon.
He was always saying things like that. We made a bet that there were others out there amongst the stars that were like us. He is a quite insane person, but maybe something in there will be helpful. We might need to expand our concept of possibility.
I'm not eliminating the possibility that there is sapient life out there. Frankly, I believe there's sapient life out there. But do you really think they spoke to Leela while she was indexing in a vision with a coma patient?
The situation does not lend itself to be credible. If we know for a fact it's not Earth, and we know for a fact it's not Aventine, highly unlikely any of the other Verge planets are advanced enough to build such technology. At what point does Occam's razor whittle away all other possibilities?
It's Haley. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you're enjoying the show. Okay, now listen in. The rest of the team is expecting me to tell you to share the podcast with, I don't know, I guess people who would like it or something. And yeah, tell your friends and family. Talk us up at work. Hell, tag us at Worlds Away Pod on social media. But here's what I really want. I want you to share us with someone you think would hate this. You know that person in your life. They get way too into the things that they dislike. They have a critique for everything. That's who I want. Compliments, they're fine. But what I really feed on is the spirit of the haters. Bring them to me. Oh, shoot. Hold on. They're coming back. Hold on. Okay. And you can find us online at worldsawaypod.com. Thanks again for listening. Now, back to the show. Remember what I said. Haters.
So once again, we have reached the end of an arc, and so it is time for us to go through the cliffhanger move and dole out some XP.
Yay.
So maybe I'll start with Mo this time, but let's go around and read out each of our hooks, and then we'll see if any of those impacted events or our characters during this mission, and after that we can go and swap out any that we think are no longer relevant or that we want to change. So Mo, whenever you're ready, go ahead and read out your hooks.
So my hooks are: the fleet and its agents are moving for war. I must stop them at any costs. Many underestimate the horrors of war. I can't help but lash out when I hear it. And I have a secret that could ruin me if exposed. I'll do anything in my power to prevent that. I think the last hook no longer applies. So instead of I have a secret that could ruin me if exposed, I'll do anything in my power to prevent that. I think the last hook is now someone knows my secret and I will take risks in order to stop them.
Okay.
Ooh. Ooh.
I like that. All right, so you untype that in. Do you think either of the other two applied during the course of the last arc, though, so as to give you XP?
I mean, this is an interesting question because, like, the fleet and its agents are moving for war. I must stop them at any costs. Mm. It was, like, definitely a thing that I acted on, right? It's just that, like, it's weird to say whether or not that was disadvantageous because, like, what my character wants is to stop war.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, it's... Like, that's like, did I take risky actions in order to stop the war? Yes, certainly.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know if you can call that disadvantageous or not.
Yeah. I mean, and you never took disadvantage as a result of that hook, did you? Like, in the game, did you?
Right. We're also at the point, for what it's worth, that I don't know how I could, unless like I was acting against this, right? Like, that's the sort of caveat, because like, I am trying to stop the war. So, like, if I'm taking actions that are designed to stop the war, there's no disadvantage there, period.
Well, I think even if it's like, oh, you're acting in accordance with the hook, you could be doing a thing that you want to do and then have disadvantage because, like, you're stressed or you're concerned about the situation. Like, I think, you know, we've seen Lauren maybe do that a few times. But I think that when I say, oh, you invoked the hook and you don't have to take disadvantage, is it's like, oh, I just essentially took a fail, or what would... could be construed as a fail in that circumstance. I think in that case, I'll give you the XP and say you don't have to roll. Like, if you froze up and didn't do something or acted in a kind of obviously disadvantageous way, just because I want to give you the power to make that narrative decision.
Got it.
Okay. So maybe it sounds like, you know, we're not sure if it applied here.
I would say no. I would just say no.
Okay. Yeah. We have a new hook, so we'll get him next time. Who wants to go next?
I'll go. So my hooks are, I have faith in Admiral Mendoza. I know that she'll always put her team in the mission first. Nasir's sense of duty makes him a pawn. I'll show him that his handlers are failing him, and I don't respect people who haven't proven themselves. I'm working on it. I don't think I've invoked any of these hooks.
Okay.
In this arc. I think that the message that I sent to Mendoza was the first time that Arno's acted in a way that doubted. I think if he had trusted her fully, he wouldn't have needed to send the message, and he knew that he was acting in a way that he was going to have to justify or defend. But I don't want to change that hook. I still think the reason why he's going to meet with her in the first place is because that's true. It's just that hasn't happened yet. But I do want to get rid of my second hook.
Okay, the one about Nasir.
Yeah. I do think that Arno is bought into the idea that there is a third faction playing us, and that this is really reminiscent of what happened on Satis, where we were... played into a conspiracy and never exposed what it was. I think I would like to change my hook to, we are a pawn in someone's game. I won't let them win.
Ooh.
Okay. I like that. Haley or Lauren, do either of you want to go?
I can go. So my hooks are, people outside of the Sato Institute can never understand what we do. I avoid questions about indexing in the Institute however I can. Nobody can tell me what I'm capable of. If challenged, I'll do whatever is necessary to turn the tables on them. Arno treats everyone we meet as an enemy. I'll help him see the bigger picture. I think I definitely invoked the first hook. I mean, I didn't end up doing any rolling, but I do think in the last session when Leela was kind of spilling the beans about her vision, I think that was definitely, she was off kilter there because she was going outside of her comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that hook two, I want to change out. So that's the one where I talk about nobody can tell me what I'm capable of. Instead, I want it to be, a strange vision has left an impression on me. When challenged, I react poorly.
Okay.
And so I think that keeps me not reacting to being challenged well, but makes it much more specific about the aliens.
All right, so go ahead and mark XP then for that hook and make that change. And then, Lauren, what about you?
All right, what about me indeed? Hook one, solving the big problems is the most important thing I can do. I won't let relationships with others stand in the way. Hook two, I've grown accustomed to order and structure. I get stressed when things go off script. Hook three, Leela's abilities are powerful and mysterious. They require greater scrutiny. I think all of those apply. I definitely called a hook, but now I'm like blanking on when I called it in the last arc. Mm. I mean, I'm pretty sure hook two was when we got into, or it was the spacewalk. I'm pretty sure I explicitly called that one there. And that's when, John, you were like, oh, you didn't actually roll in the immediate next scene. Okay. So, okay, never mind. I have recovered.
Yeah, I'm fine with you giving one. We'll check the tape. We'll see. Fans, let us know. But yeah, go ahead and mark XP for that. Any you wanted to change, though? Or are we good?
I think all of those I would like to keep for now. We'll see how this next arc goes.
I was like, I don't know if we've ever had everybody change it, you know, or change at least one. So I was getting scared. But thank you for saving us from that fate.
You're welcome.
I mean, I think this was a very momentous.
That's fair.
Arc. So,
yeah.
All right. So we've gone through the hooks. Everyone's got XP or not, as the case may be. But now we do have some questions to answer as a group. So I'm going to read those from the cliffhanger move and then we can go through those. So the first question is, did we complete a mission or contract?
Oh, yes. You better believe it.
Everyone agreed on that?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So go ahead and everybody mark one XP.
That is a level.
Yeah, yay. I leveled up on the previous one, so.
Second question is, did we learn something new and important about the universe? And if so, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sapient life, maybe. You guys don't believe me yet, but I know it.
I think in the realm of possibilities as well, like things that we like universally agree on that have changed the universe is that there are just violations all up in this place for the armistice as well.
The armistice is a sort of paper tiger. Yeah. All right. So yeah, either of those, I think, apply. Go ahead and mark XP, everybody. And then
I just leveled up.
Excellent. Yay. All right. Go ahead and clear. Third question is, did we make a new enemy or thwart an existing enemy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
What's the nomination for that?
How many enemies did we make?
We thwarted Torres.
We threw that useless guy onto an asteroid.
Riley.
Piece of shit.
Marvin.
2001 Space Honda Odyssey dumped his ass.
Oh my God. How did we not say 2001 Honda Space Odyssey?
I know. Fuck. I literally said this to Mike the other day because I was listening as I was editing. Mike says Space Honda Odyssey. And I was like, wait a second.
Oh my God.
Goddamn second.
Jesus.
It was deeply buried in our subconscious. Like it was there the whole time.
God, I wonder how many people are just going to be listening to this episode and be like, these fools, these idiots, why didn't they say it? Oh, all right, well.
I'll wait for Kevin to let us know that we missed it.
To say that I hate Riley is to give Riley far too much credit. I nothing Riley. I don't remember his name most of the time because truly Marvin? That was an insignificant speck. And that insignificant speck tried to kill us and then thought to like yell at us or something. Truly don't know. They can enjoy their asteroid.
Also a murderer. Oh my. Like in that rant, you never said explicitly that they're a double murderer. Mm-hmm. And they absolutely were.
Listen, sometimes you got to do what you got
to
do.
I had this whole speech prepared for about him if we have ever revealed him to the crew. And I'm sad that I don't get to use it, but it would have been awesome.
All right. Well, I'll try not to take this personally. I kind of really like the Nico Torres nomination as somebody that you thwarted. Yeah. So that's a really good one. Yeah, I think obviously... Maybe also thwarted Aventine by blowing up their secret installation, you know, or like partially thwarted. So go ahead and mark XP for that.
I'd also like to nominate Nico Torres for new enemy made.
I mean, it's like he was already your enemy. He just didn't know. You know what I mean? So I don't know. But maybe, yeah, I'll take that too. Both satisfied for him. And then I guess the last question is, was there a big moment that hinged on a crucial role?
Yep, sure was.
One that we failed.
Okay.
This is the last roll. Thank Christ, I leveled up.
Yeah. All right. I'll agree with that. Go ahead, mark XP. All right. So everyone, Haley, you have not leveled up. Is that correct? But the other three have?
No, I did. That's what I was saying is I leveled up on the hook.
Haley was the first to level up.
Oh, I see. I see. Okay. I thought you were saying you leveled up last episode and that already took the advance. I was
you seemed like kind of annoyed that I was talking and I was like,
God, you're so annoying.
Okay, in my defense, how I took this was, I just leveled up. It's like, well, I leveled up last episode. I'm like, okay, like, you got a fucking merit badge here. Like, good job, everybody.
Typical millennial wanting a trophy for everything. Yeah.
All right, I apologize for that.
This man loves me.
RGM's an asshole.
Yeah. We knew
we
that.
We do talk
okay.
about that all the time, though. I don't feel like that should be a...
All right. On that note, what's your level ups here? Run them down.
I am taking EMP grenade.
Okay.
When you lob a grenade, instead of dealing harm, you may choose to disable electrical and energy-based technology used by your target. Parentheses S.
Okay. I like it. In line with our plot here. And part of World's Away Volatile Era by Taylor Swift. Well, Haley, I want to jump back to you. You were the first to level up, I guess, and maybe this is my, by way of apology, I'll let you jump in now and say what you got here.
Thank you. Yeah, I think I'm going to go ahead and take an advance on calculating and take my -1 up to a 0.
Okay.
I think that's going to be the right move.
Hell yeah. Can't fail now.
Incorrect, but, you know.
Who is next to level up? Mo, is that you?
I think it was Mike, Mo, Lauren. So,
But actually, Mo, if you know what you want, go for it, because I'm stuck between two things.
What are you stuck between?
I'm stuck between Battle Commander and Walking Tank.
Ooh.
I'm terrified of both of these things.
Okay, so no, hold on. John has no reason to be terrified. Walking Tank sounds intimidating as all hell.
Oh, yeah.
What it does is it allows me to ignore the clumsy tag on armor, like my military-issued space suit, which would be super cool, because you might remember that I fumbled the bag as I was crawling through the vents on the Amity, and it'd be really nice to not have to take disadvantage as I'm, like, trying to stealth in a suit. And Battle Commander, which shares an ability from my favorite D&D character that I've ever created of all time, is like helping, but more selfish. Because in a normal help action, I help you do what you want to do. But in a Battle Commander action, I help you do what I want you to do. And so when I roll recover, I may choose the following as one of the options on the list. Give an ally an order, and they have advantage going forward if they follow that order. So it's like help, but for me.
That would have been useful for my piloting role.
And Mike, on your character sheet, I see that Battle Commander is already checked off. Is that incorrect? You didn't already take it, did you?
That's incorrect. I did have it checked because I was leaning towards that just now.
I see. Okay. I wanted to make sure you weren't, getting a bad shake here. Okay.
Right.
Well, you're noodling that. Mo, do you know what you want? Or
so I'm torn between an extra gear slot and sex appeal.
What does sex appeal do?
So the question is cargo shorts or not, is what I'm hearing.
Mesh tank top, finally. Yeah.
What does sex appeal
do? Depending on where that gear slot is, that could be sex appeal.
Your sex appeal is undeniable and near universal. When you turn on your charm, you can always make someone attracted to you or unsettled by you, their choice. Depending on their reaction, you can use the promise of affection or of distance as the exchange when you manipulate them.
So my take is that I don't know that Nasir is particularly feeling sexy right now. However, if your intention is to only use sex appeal in conversations with Ramon, then I'm all about it. Otherwise, to me, it just kind of feels like this is not your sexy era, if I'm being
honest.
That's
super fair. That's actually why I didn't take calculating, is because I was like, I don't think this is my calculating era. So I think instead what I'm going to do is just add a gear slot and I'll get a fourth gear slot.
It is his gear era, so I'm excited for that. All right, so if you go ahead and you click, there's a little like pencil next to the...
Yep.
Yeah, you got it. Okay. All right.
Your boy got a fourth gear slot.
Hell yeah. And Arno, any closer to a decision?
Yeah, I've decided that I'm going to take Help Me, Help You, Help Me, a.k.a. Battle Commander. And yeah, that'll be great.
Fuck yeah.
A.k.a. Commander Strike.
God, I love that ability.
No, that may or may not be any sort of...
IP.
It's like copyright, trademark, TM, World's Way, whatever. All right.
Dick balls.
Thank you. All right.
Gear slot.
All right, so I think that's all of the XP stuff, but as a sort of final part, we need to check off some fuses. So, okay. Haley, oh no, we'll just put something in the chat.
I put it in the chat so as to not disturb your cadence.
No, it did. Okay. It was, okay, that's fine.
Don't right. slot shame him.
Not to slut shame everybody, hoes could be much sluttier.
In okay. the... I hate that word. In the roll chat?
In the roll chat, yeah. You might need to refresh if you're not seeing.
Yeah.
Or don't.
This isn't good content.
Lauren said gear slot, so Mo said gear slut, so Mike said gear slit. And it only kept getting worse.
Slit, slot, slut.
Slut.
Gear slat.
Slut, slut, slut.
Gear slut.
Gear flaps.
Slut. Right, no. All right. I'm going to bring it back.
Okay.
A++. No.
Oh, no.
Good job, everyone.
All right. So, as sorry, I was children. Saying, so I do think we also need to check off some fuses. So Haley, I'm going to ask you to fulfill your managerial function here and go on to the ship playbook and add one segment to the fourth estate fuse and then also reduce the sort of maintenance fuse modifier by one.
Okay. So our fourth estate fuse is now at 4 out of 5.
Uh-oh.
Amazing. Spectacular.
That feels right.
Yeah, reminder that when the fourth estate fuse is full, the press turns against you and you are disfavored, which means all ship payment moves roll at a disadvantage.
All right. And what is the maintenance fuse at?
Maintenance fuse is now, it went from +1 to 0.
Okay.
So we are pretty good there.
All right. So I think that is all of the cliffhanger housekeeping. So I want to jump back into some scenes, and I think the one I want to go to is Arno and Mendoza.
Yes.
So I guess let me just ask you this, Mike. Is this in the same call room that we've seen you speaking to Mendoza in the past, or are you taking this somewhere else?
It's the same room.
Okay. I think I want to cut just into the middle of the conversation again, but I think that we see Mendoza on the screen, and I guess maybe I'll turn this over to you, Mike, which is, how do we think she looks right now?
Hot.
It is worlds away, Lauren, so yes,
everybody's hot. That's what we did establish, that like ep 0 actually.
Admiral Mendoza is never really the type of person that turns it off, as it were. I think she's really good about being able to dial up the intensity as needed, so that even in previous conversations when it seemed like she was relaxed because she was laid back in the chair or had the top button undone on her uniform, that's just because she was who she needed to be for the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, who she needs to be for the conversation is Admiral Isabella fucking Mendoza. And there is not a single hint of relaxation in her demeanor. Her face has been hardened. Her uniform is pristine, and her voice is perfectly level and ready to cut Arno into 1,000 pieces.
Yeah. So I think we hear her say, "Let me get this straight, Lieutenant. You exposed our stockpiles, ruining any advantage those might have given us. You then exposed the Abbey's own version of those, backing them into a corner, and by doing so, greatly increasing the chance that they use one of their devices. But then at the same time, you also exposed Torres's plan with the fleet and took away our best, really only, chance to stop them. Did I get all of that right, Lieutenant?"
Yes.
This has me stressed. She's very stressful.
"Well, in that case, do you plan to let me in on what the hell you were thinking?"
"We were acting on incomplete information and playing directly into their hands. The attack would have been a failure. They would have activated the devices with the fleet away from the Republic, and they would have been able to outlast us if this war dragged out. We weren't prepared for any of this, and we were going to lose, and we were going to lose badly."
I think when you say that, she kind of it's not like relaxing, but it's taking a slightly different posture in the chair. And I think she puts her hand down on the desk and is kind of drumming it slightly, which I started to do, but will refrain because I'm on microphone here.
I'll do it.
Thank you, Mo.
No.
But I think she says, well, I could sit here and pick apart how revealing our plans gave the Abbeys dozens of additional targets, or how revealing their own plan ruins any chance that we could act with an element of surprise and maybe turn the tide you were so worried about. But really, the question that I'm struggling with is, why the hell did you choose to do this without running it by me?
You would have tried to find a way to win. It's all fine and good for Nico Torres to try to use war as an instrument of re-election, but when did we become his pawns?
So I know you mentioned Mendoza, like her kind of facial expression, all of this, and everything's very controlled and performative. But I think when you say that, there's like the smallest crack, and that is, I think that she looks offended. It's like you said something that is just so contrary to her view of herself and what she is doing, that even with her extraordinary facade, that a hair of that creeps through.
I would like to reserve the right at some point to invoke my background, War Eternal.
Oh.
You come from a culture that has been embroiled in a bitter internal conflict for generations. When you encounter someone from your culture, you will immediately know which force they are from and how you can push at them to gain support or lose their cool. You have advantage when you intimidate or manipulate them.
Oh, fuck.
This is a back and forth between Mendoza and I to see who loses their cool first. And that's what I'm going for. We're both keeping stoic facial expressions and an even tone as we're having this conversation, but we probably also want to tear each other to shreds while we're having this argument.
Well, I think that if you end up rolling at some point, then yeah, I mean, totally noted. And I think that could apply. I think, you know, either way, I think you see that for a second. And then I think she says, Arno, you've served with me for almost a decade now. If there's one thing you should have taken away from that, it is that I and FSOC are nobody's pawns. Nico Torres had a plan. Evelyn Lee had shit. And if we didn't act to stop these devices, the Abbeys would use them and the Republic could cease to exist. What kind of alternative did you think we had?
Arno ignores the question and doesn't flinch and replies, we're playing into somebody's hand and we don't even know who they are.
You're referring to this ghost ship?
He just stares.
The only evidence supporting your view of this was found on a slate in the home of an Aventine dissident, easily planted, and on a ship you received a distress signal from on an open channel just before you were attacked by an Aventine vessel lying in wait.
You think it's Aventine?
It does seem the simplest explanation.
And you want to send the fleet directly onto their home world without any way to prepare for it? And Arno pulls up the footage of the ghost ship appearing behind the Valiant as we were trying to escape and sends it to Mendoza. We couldn't sense it until it dropped shields. You think we're ready for this? Actually, let me rephrase that. If this is Aventine, you think we're ready for this?
I like that Arno has essentially presented it as they have advanced technology that can disrupt our Lustra, which we do not have a sufficient amount of. They have more than us, anyway. That they have stores equivalent to our own. And if you believe this is Aventine, they have superior firepower also. That's, I mean, like, it's fucking good.
Yeah.
Pardon my language for Haley's mom.
Oh, that's where we drop it?
Yeah. Admiral Isabella butt-fucking Mendoza is fine, though. But
yeah, that's my man.
Mendoza fucks butts.
Butt-fucked.
That's going to be on our shirts.
I'm sorry. I have to throw this out there. Rear Admiral. Anyway.
Oh.
All right. Hold on. We did it. So I think she looks at what you sent her and then kind of after a few seconds frustratedly flicks it away. Or maybe it's even dismissively. And I think what she says is, now you're just being rude. I've always taken everything you've said into account. And if we could know everything we could about this ghost ship, I'd be the first one to support this. I never told you to stop investigating. But even without all the answers, I don't see why you needed to give up our only chance to act. And I think as she says that, she kind of straightens back up in the chair, kind of returning to her original posture. And then she says, I hope you have a plan for this, Arno. I really do. Because if you don't, I can't think of what you could have done here that would have more seriously threatened the future of the Republic.
Ma'am, I'm not important enough for anyone in the Republic to give a damn about me taking responsibility for what comes next. But I'm going to do my duty anyway. For now, we'll have to settle for resetting the board and sending everyone back to their corners. I hope we have a more favorable opportunity for peace next time.
I think when you say that, maybe you catch one more thing from her, and that's almost a slight look of disappointment. And what she says is, I've never cared for describing war as a game. I've put too many flags on coffins to think that way. But if we are going to use those words, then by resetting the board, putting our pieces back in the corner, you've taken away the only move that I could have made. A new chance for peace, or maybe even just better odds. I hope you're right about that, Arno. I really do. But either way, as of today, you are no longer a part of FSOC, Mr. Hines. And once your assignment to the Minerva Project is finished, you will no longer be a part of the fleet as well. And I think with that, before you can respond, we see her reach forward and then the screen on your end goes black.
Oh, shit.
I bet he's going to start wearing the jacket.